Het is een fantastische herfstdag en ik geniet van die prachtige herfstkleuren. Maar ik geniet ook van dit programma Hour of Power en velen met mij. Want heel veel Nederlanders, jong en oud, kijken naar Hour of Power. We hebben natuurlijk fantastische gasten in het programma. Daniel Rodriguez, wie kent hem niet? De zingende politieman die vorig jaar bij onze kerstconcerten zo'n enorme indruk maakt. Ook weer terugkomt en hij vertelt over zijn leven. Hij heeft net een hoge onderscheiding gehad in Amerika. Het is een fantastisch mens om van te genieten. En muziek is er ook in de Crystal Cathedral. Roger Williams, die oude pianist die zo fantastisch kan spelen, geeft weer een super performance. Kijk je voor het eerst of kijk je sinds kort naar Hour of Power? We geven elk kwartaal een kwartaalblad uit, dat is dit blad. En hierin staat alle informatie over die komende kerstconcerten waar zoveel belangstelling voor is. En we hopen u en jou daar ook te mogen ontmoeten. Daniel gaat zingen en er staat ook een interview met hem in. Wil je dit blad hebben, sturen we graag gratis toe. Hour of Power, postbus 22 in Laren. Aan het eind van het programma zeggen we nog even hoe je dit blad kunt krijgen. Maar postbus 22 Laren, Hour of Power. Heel veel inspiratie in dit programma. Dominee Schuller praat over een heel belangrijk onderwerp. Heel veel mensen bidden. En dan denk je, ja, verhoort God nou mijn gebed? En wanneer komt het dan? En daar praat hij over. Eén ding is zeker. God beantwoordt gebeden. Kortom, een inspirerende uitzending. Hartelijk welkom bij deze uitzending van Hour of Power.
From the Crystal Cathedral in Garden Grove, California, join Robert Schuller in An Hour of Power, now celebrating our 37th year as the face and voice of positive Christianity to the world.
Welcome to the Crystal Cathedral. It is a spectacular day to feel the presence of God here in this place. Would you please greet those who are standing next to you and behind you and say, God loves you and so do I. We have the NFL head coach, Super Bowl winning head coach, Tony Dungy. We have music by the talented Crystal Cathedral Academy vocalists. That's Ryan Lissick and Natalie Leonard. We have the extraordinary Roger Williams. He's going to be playing the piano for us today. And so we realize that this is the day that the Lord has made. And so we will rejoice. And we will be glad in it. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that you're a God of miracles. You're a God who answers prayers. You're a God who guides and leads. You're a God who brings healing and hope. And so in this moment and in this time and in this hour, may we receive healing of body, mind, and spirit. May we leave this place better people, emotionally, spiritually, physically. So we thank you, Lord, for everything you're doing this very moment. Amen.
Please be seated. Hear these words of encouragement and hope that we have just sung as recorded in Psalm 121. I will lift up mine eyes to the hills. From where does my help come? My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. Behold, he who keeps you shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun shall not strike you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in, from this time forward, even forevermore. May God add his blessing to the reading of his holy word.
Thank you, Don. Thank you, choir. Today it is my absolute privilege to welcome to the Christ Cathedral for the first time the NFL head coach, Tony Dungy, here to the Crystal Cathedral. This past year, America watched, the world watched, as Tony led the Indianapolis Colts to win the Super Bowl and become the first African-American coach to win this incredible game. Tony is the author of a new memoir entitled Quiet Strength. This book reveals the principles, the practices, the priorities of winning in life. In addition to the countless achievements to his name, Tony is a devoted follower of Jesus Christ and a loving family man. We are overjoyed this morning to welcome, and would you please welcome with me, Tony Dungy. Tony, God loves you, and so do we.
It's wonderful to be here. Thank you so much.
Well, first of all, congratulations. You won probably the biggest game there is. Would you agree with that?
It was a big game. It was a wonderful achievement. It was great for our community, for our organization. But what I told our players, it's certainly not the biggest thing. And the Lord had something bigger in store for all of us, and I think we kept that in perspective.
Well, you've got a couple trophies on your fingers, I see there. Yeah.
I do.
Is that the one?
That is the new one. That is the one we got with the Colts, and this is one I got as a player 28 years ago with the Steelers.
Wow, that's spectacular. There's nothing like it, being able to see those rings firsthand.
No, and it's great when you set a goal as a group at the beginning of the year and say, this is where we are trying to go, and you make it there, it's a really, really tremendous sense of accomplishment.
Absolutely. Well, the head coach of the other team was Lovey Smith, right?
Yes, sir. A good friend of mine, a great Christian man, and it was fun being with him and doing it. Whoever won, we felt it was going to be a win-win situation.
And it was a win-win situation. It was wonderful to see you guys hug afterwards and to show your appreciation for each other. And I think that comes down to the whole realization that you understand that the biggest game in life isn't a football game, is it?
Absolutely. And that was something during the week leading up to the Super Bowl, people asked, well, you know, who's the Lord going to choose and who's he going to honor? And we said, you know, it's not really about winning the game per se, but it is honoring the Lord. And whether we win or lose, it really, that's not the point, but it's how we do it. And I was so happy to share that moment with him.
Well, tell me about your faith as a child, for instance.
I grew up in a home. My mom was a Sunday school teacher. I have two uncles that were ministers. My grandfather was a minister. So I heard the gospel. I accepted Christ. But when I was young, it was just that faith of, hey, I'm going to heaven. And it wasn't until later on, I got in my 20s and I was a player for the Steelers, that I ran into some really, really strong Christian athletes, guys who made me understand that it's more than just going to church on Sunday and knowing that you're going to heaven, but how you're living, what you're doing for the Lord, and that we should do that in our jobs, in our daily life, everything we do. And that's when I think I really started growing as a 21-year-old NFL player.
You told me before the service that your mother and your father both had a favorite television show. What was that?
Yes, that was that was your dad. My mom, especially,
The
Hour of Power. She just said, Dr. Shuler is so positive. You know, I just love to watch him. And we kind of grew up watching your dad.
Wow. So do you think that had an impact in your life in helping to form your spiritual life?
It really did, especially my mom with the Sunday school stories. She would teach on Sunday, and she'd practice on us on Thursday night. And we'd hear the stories. Even before I could read the Bible, I knew a lot of the stories. And that became a background for me, and I still do. The night before we played the New England Patriots to go to the Super Bowl, I talked about David and Goliath to the team because it made the point that I wanted to make, that God will let you do the things that you're capable of if you trust him.
You know, one of the things that caught my attention was USA Today published a photograph of the first thing that took place after your team went into the locker room, and it wasn't popping the champagne. What was it and what happened? Tell us about it.
Well, we have a tradition. Before the game, we pray as a team, and after the game, we pray. Normally, we do it before the media comes in, but the Super Bowl crush is such that the media was in there, and we asked everyone to just excuse us for 2 minutes while we prayed, and one gentleman took a picture, and it ran all over the country, and it's been an awesome testimony.
And that picture was of all of your players kneeling and praying with the trophy in the picture. It's an amazing photograph.
Yeah. And I think it was a great, great witness to people and something that I'll never forget.
You know, people often think that individuals like yourself who have just had a very successful life, and they look at people like yourself and they say, well, of course he can be a believer because God's answering his prayers. What does he know about tragedy and tough times? You know, if he had to go through my life, he'd probably be a different story. And the fact is that I've witnessed that there isn't a human being on earth who hasn't gone through tragedy. Is that true with you?
Absolutely. And I think that's the great thing about football or any sport. You know that you don't win every game. And you do have to bounce back from defeats. You are going to have disappointments. And really what you become in life is how you handle those tough times. And to me, that was relying on Christ, leaning on my Christian faith, and understanding that I can bounce back from disappointments.
What's been the biggest tragedy in your life?
Well, we've had some tough times as a family. In the last 3 years, my mom and dad passed away. I was hoping they'd get a chance to see us in the Super Bowl. That didn't happen. My oldest son passed away the same way that right before we went to the Super Bowl. So it makes you understand that life is about more than sports, but also the fact that as a Christian, we're looking forward to eternity, yes, and we're not bound by the here and now.
So how does your faith help you in that then?
I think my faith causes me to look forward and look ahead and try to learn from what happened in the past, but really not live in the disappointments, but to know that in every disappointment, God's got something ahead of us if we'll continue to look forward and try to follow him.
Yeah. Now you've written a book. It's called Quiet Strength, a Memoir, and the Principles, Practices, and Priorities of a Winning Life. What is your primary objective in writing this book?
What I wanted to do was share with the country about our team. People know about our team on the field, but I wanted to share the off the field, behind the scenes, the lessons I've learned from my parents, from my pastors, from my coaches, people that have really had an impact on me, and the things that I share to our team off the field, not how to play the game, but how to live in life.
Can you tell me two or three principles that you want people to take away with this?
Well, there are a couple that I think are very important. Number one, we talk about champions don't do extraordinary things. They do the ordinary things better than everyone else. And focusing on the little details, the small things in life that make the difference. And the second big principle is that Matthew 16:26, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world but forfeit his soul? That winning the Super Bowl can't be our ultimate goal. It's got to be pleasing the Lord.
Amen. Well, Tony, I want to thank you for being my guest today. I want to thank you for coming here and for sharing with us your faith and sharing with us handles that we can hold on to our faith, even through the toughest of times. And we just want you to know that God loves you, and so do we.
Well, thank you very much. It is a pleasure and an honor to be here. Thank
God
you.
God bless you.
Amen.
Lead us to a place, guide us with your grace.
man met een geweldige stem. Een solist is Daniel Rodriguez. En we zijn erg blij dat hij voor onze kerstconcerten naar Nederland en overigens naar Europa komt. Want hij gaat ook nog voor Hour of Power Duitsland en Zwitserland optreden. Daniel Rodriguez, een man met een prachtige stem, een tenor die veelgevraagde zanger is. En we zijn blij dat hij opnieuw de kerstconcerten zal komen versterken met zijn prachtige stem. Daniel, good morning.
Hello again.
Yes.
So it's been a little while.
It's been a little while, but you didn't change.
No.
You're here to prepare your European tour.
Yes.
And we're so glad that you will perform in the Netherlands.
I'm so glad to be back again.
Before we start talking, let's watch a little bit at one of your performances in the during the last Christmas tour.
Oh, that was fantastic.
Yeah. Well, what I liked that there was, before I started about everything about the Christmas concert and those things, that what most impressed me was we were in the southern part of the Netherlands, and after the concert, an older lady collapsed. She was laying there on the floor of the church, and you came by, stood at her side, and said, "I want to visit her the next day in hospital."
When I came back out to catch my car, I saw that there was paramedics there. And being a police officer, I'm very curious about things like that. So I walked over and I see this lady lying on the ground. So I rushed over to her to see if there was anything I could do. And they had told me that she had slipped and perhaps had broken her leg. And I felt so bad. And she was such a wonderful lady that I stood with her until they took her away. And I talked to her and tried to keep her mind off of the pain. And I gave her one of my CDs, and she was so happy. And I wanted to go and visit her to make sure that she was okay. And we went to the hospital, and she was very surprised to see me. She had no idea that I was going to come and visit her in the hospital. And I went to the hospital, and I spoke with her, and they said that she was going to be doing fine. And that made me feel good to know that I was able to follow up on that, because she spent all that day listening to me in the concert. She came out to see me, and unfortunately she had an accident, so I figured she paid a price of admission twice, and I wanted to give her a little bit more than just a show.
I appreciate that highly, because most people would not do it. You're coming back the 13th through the 19th, when you have the concert tour in Holland, but also you're going to Switzerland and to Germany, to Cologne, for example. What will be the theme this year?
It's sharing the gift of music and the gift of Christ to us in this season with my brothers and sisters in Holland.
What does Christmas mean to you, Christmas time?
Well, Christmas time is traditionally it's a time of family and a time of giving, a time of receiving from one another, that time when all men, for some strange reason in that time, all men feel that love towards one another. I wish that it could last all year long. But if we have that moment, then I'll take it. It's also a very, very blessed time for all Christians, because, you know, the birth of our Savior and all the events that lead to our salvation and to the moment that we were saved, when Christ eventually gave His life for us on the cross. And it's a time of renewal of faith, renewal of the vows that we take as Christians. And for me, there's no better way to renew my vow and renew my faith than with music.
You make music a ministry.
Yes.
We all have our favorite Christmas carols, and I guess you too. What is your favorite?
I think O Holy Night.
The most famous one.
Yeah, O Holy Night. Because of a tenor, I get to sing it really, really big. Yeah. And
Let me hear.
Oh, holy night, the stars are brightly shining. It is the night of the dear Savior's birth.
Where is that voice born? Where does it come from? It comes so deep.
From there.
Oh, from there. That's from your stomach.
That's where it was born. I just found it in here.
Daniel, I think the one and only who can do an invitation right in the camera to the Dutch is you to come to the concerts. What would you say?
I want to say, come all, everyone. I want to meet everyone. We've had so many wonderful experiences here in Holland, and we're going to do beautiful music. It's going to be very spiritual. It's going to be uplifting. I think the people here in Holland have a great spirit of this time of year, and the music is going to be fabulous. So please come out and see us. We want to see you.
Power organiseert dit jaar 7 kerstconcerten en heeft een sfeervol programma voor u samengesteld, waarin de geboorte van Jezus centraal staat. U kunt genieten van de ontmoeting met elkaar en de prachtige muziek die verzorgd wordt door een keur van absolute topartiesten. De Amerikaanse tenor Daniel Rodriguez maakte vorig jaar grote indruk met zijn warme stemgeluid en treedt ook dit jaar op. Ook Jan Mulder, de bekende pianist, verleent zijn medewerking aan onze kerstconcerten. Hij leidt een geweldig orkest en een groot koor. Bovendien zal de meidengroep Excess optreden tijdens onze kerstconcerten, verspreid door het hele land. Het beloven 7 onvergetelijke avonden te worden die we graag met u willen beleven. Dinsdag 11 december zijn we in de Grote Kerk in Naarden. 13 december de Meervaart in Amsterdam. En vrijdag 14 december zijn we in Apeldoorn. Zaterdag 15 december in Roermond. Maandag 17 december in de Pieterskerk in Leiden. 18 december de Battle in Drachten. En het slotconcert op woensdag 19 december in de Laurenskerk in Rotterdam. De deuren gaan open om 7 uur en de concerten beginnen om 7:45. U kunt uw plaatsen het snelst reserveren via www.hourofpower.nl. Of bel met ons kantoor om een bestelkaart aan te vragen. 035 538 0588.
Wat een activiteit allemaal. Maar het is heel fijn om dat te mogen doen. Het enthousiasme voor Hour of Power in Nederland is groot. En vandaar dat we het fijn vinden om iets voor u en jou te kunnen en te mogen doen. Wij gaan naar de Crystal Cathedral.
Thank you.
repeat these words after me. God is answering my prayers. God is answering my prayers. Last week, we looked at the first part of this, which is God is. And today, we're looking at the second part, is answering my prayers. Because God is answering our prayers. And as we continue to use that positive thought, we will continue to have life transformation take place within our souls, with our faith, and within our lives. But in order for us to believe and to use and to have the tools with which to take advantage of this wonderful gift, we need to believe it. So let me share with you why I believe that this statement is true, specifically the part of God is answering our prayers, because He is. He's answering our prayers through positive thoughts and words. He's answering our prayers through hard work. He's answering our prayers through the Bible. He's answering our prayers through people and situation. And He's answering our prayers by not saying yes to everything we ask for. So God is in the constant process of answering our prayers. I believe it begins by answering our prayers with positive thoughts and words. Kate Rue wrote this article, and I received it recently. It's entitled Mind Over Matter. And let me read this to you. It appeared in Health Features, a publication. Positive thoughts can be as effective as drugs in beating diseases. Studies show preventative medicine may soon mean more than just monitoring your vegetable intake and exercise levels and include how many negative thoughts go through your head in a day. There is a growing body of evidence to suggest that a patient's beliefs and hopes affect their prognosis. Quote, one of the major contributors to maintaining health and removing disease is the attitude of the patient, says Professor Oakley Ray, psychologist from Vanderbilt University in Tennessee. He reviewed 100 years of research on psychology and disease for a paper published in American Psychiatrist and concluded that, quote, words can have the same effect as drugs. Thinking optimistically can change your whole biology. Ray quotes a wild range of evidence, including various studies linking mindset to heart disease. One such study by Professor Laura Kubzinski from the Harvard School of Public Health established that optimism lowers the risk of heart disease in older men, while pessimism and hopelessness increase it. There is strong evidence that patients with heart disease who feel hopeless about their condition do worse, says Professor Alan Steptoe, a psychologist at University College London. Positive thoughts and words are the means in which God starts to have impact in our lives in a positive way. I read and pray for hundreds of people all the time. And I consistently find that most of the prayer requests fall into several categories, three to be specific. Finances is one big one. Health is another big one. And here we've discovered that as we use our positive thoughts, that it will have a positive impact on our health. And if you're suffering from health concerns today and are asking prayers for health, I want you to begin today to think positive thoughts. One of the most positive thoughts you can think is this: God is answering my prayers. It's one of the most positive thoughts you can ever think. God is answering my prayers. In addition to that, let me give you some more positive affirmations you can think. Here is one. I have favor with God. That's my son's favorite line. He says it all the time. You may have seen him here in the pulpit once or twice. In fact, he's going to be preaching here in a couple weeks. Bobby, that's his line. That's his positive affirmation. I have favor with God. Here's one that you've heard here every Sunday morning because we like to believe that we're a positive ministry. Everyone here believe that we're a positive ministry? I believe that. Here's one. God loves me. We say that every morning. Turn to the person to your right and left, shake their hand and say, God loves you, and so do I. Positive affirmations. But then we have to take it and internalize our positive thoughts for them to have positive action and positive effects. So we have to make it personal. God is answering my prayers. God loves me. Here's another one. God is blessing me. Do you want to leave this place healthier than when you came in? If that's the case, then repeat these phrases after me. I have favor with God. God loves me. God is blessing me. God is answering my prayers. By simply saying those words, the biology of your body begins to shift in a positive way, and you start creating healthier cells. And as a result of that, every time you say those positive affirmations, your body gets stronger. It's a fact. God is answering our prayers through hard work. Because I believe this, that it's imperative for us to pray like it all depends on God, but at the same time to work like it all depends on us. That we have personal responsibility as individuals, that God wants us to be active. Luck, I believe, is a four-letter word, and it's spelled W-O-R-K. It's work. We pray the prayer we've been taught by Jesus to pray the prayer, Lord, give us this day our daily bread. But at the same time, Lord, give us the strength to be able to go and collect the bread that you have for us. In the Old Testament, Moses took the Israelites through the wilderness. And every single day, God fed the Israelites. Manna fell from the sky. But they had to go out and they had to collect it. And I believe it was very difficult to get a day's worth of food by collecting this manna. And some days there was probably more than others because we know that they tried to collect more than a day's amount of food. And if they did, guess what happened? It rotted. It rotted. So every single day, God made them work. They had to go out into the wilderness. They had to collect this manna that was given to them, and they could eat that day. But the next day, they had to do it again. And there is a reason why God has us work. My mother. If I was just filling around getting in trouble, she'd come in and she'd always give me some chores and some work to do. And this was her excuse for making me do something even though I didn't think it needed to be done. I'd look outside and I'd see the sidewalks and they look perfectly clean to me, and she'd go out and sweep the sidewalks. But Mom, they're not dirty. I don't care. Go out there and sweep the sidewalks. Or mow the lawn or whatever it was. And her rationale for that was this: idle hands belong to the devil. Oh, yes, Mom. I'll go out there right away. I don't want my hands being used by the devil. And I believe there's an understanding that must realize that through hard work, God has impacted in our lives and answers our prayers. He is answering our prayers through positive thought, through hard work, through the Bible. The Bible is filled with positive words for us to be able to continue to realize how he instructs us and guides us. One of the things we need to do when we read the Bible is internalize its words. And I'm going to give you some instruction in how to read the Bible right now. In Psalm 41, let me read these words, and then I'm going to read them twice. First, the Psalm 41 says this: how blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in a day of trouble. That's the first verse. But whenever you hear the Bible talking about someone else, put your name in it. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's talking about somebody else, put your name in it. So listen to what happens when we put our name in it. How blessed is Robert, who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver Robert in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect Robert and keep Robert alive. And Robert shall be called blessed upon the earth. Psalm 41. And what I want you to do, if you want to hear God answering your prayers, read the Psalms. But put your name in it. Put your name in it. When you put your name in it, it comes alive. And it speaks to you, and you hear the voice of God like you never have before. It's easy when you say, he, to never personalize anything. And that's not what the Bible's intended to do. Because the Bible's intended to answer our prayers. And I believe the guidance we need is in the Bible. God answers our prayers through positive thoughts, through hard work, through people and situations. I was given a letter by Elizabeth Thibault, by Don Newman. Actually, it was given to him. And here's the letter. She said, two of our engineering doctoral students, she's a professor of English at Texas A&M, she said, two of our engineering doctoral students just returned from Europe, Afghanistan, and Iraq, and I served on their dissertation committee. Describing their tour of duty, they frequently want to talk about the loss of familiarity culture, shock from being away from the U.S. for more than a year. When I asked them how they coped with moving back and forth from Europe to the Mideast, they both said they watched the Hour of Power every chance they had. They both said that the positive messages and the Hour of Power choir gave them the blessings that often helped them get through weeks always characterized by fear and uncertainty. One of them, Josh, talked about listening to an anthem while he was in a dugout and listening to a renegade terrorist group running and screaming across a dusty road no more than 20 feet away. Both have used the Hour of Power to share the Christian message with enlisted men. In short, I wanted you to know that you are making a very critical difference in the lives of people who badly need support. You can congratulate yourselves for making that possible. God answers our prayer through people, through situations. That's why it's so important to go to church and to be involved in Bible studies. One of the truths of church and Bible study is that it is the safest place in the world to be. Did you know that one of the most dangerous places is in automobiles? So you want to avoid riding in automobiles if you want to be safe in the world today, because 20% of all fatal accidents take place in automobiles. But while we're on the subject, you probably want to stay away from home, too. 17% of all accidents occur in homes. So then you also want to be careful on the streets. Walking on streets and sidewalks is another 14% of all accidents. And then another 16% are due to air, rail, and water transportation. And then this is the most dangerous place of all. 33% of all deaths occur in hospitals. Above all else, stay away from hospital. But here's the kicker. 1% of 1% of all deaths occur in worship services. So the safest place in the world to be is in church. And the only place safer than that is in Bible studies. Less people die in Bible studies than in church. So make sure you're with people in church and in Bible studies if you're concerned about your health and your safety. God answers our prayers through people and situations. God answers our prayers by not saying yes to everything. How many people are glad they didn't marry the first person you thought you fell in love with? Think about it. Yeah. God answers our prayers by not saying yes to everything. I just gotta. And the reason he does that is because he knows us so well. The Bible says that he knows how many hairs are on our head. Does anyone here know themselves that well? I don't think so. God has something better in mind. The positive talk we talk to ourselves is that God must have a better plan for me, a better idea for me. And no matter what happens, we keep this thought in our mind at all times. God is answering my prayers. He's answering them through positive words and thoughts, through hard work, through the Bible, through people and situations. And thank you, Lord, for not saying yes to everything. And so, oh God, allow your positive thoughts to enter our minds, to touch our hearts, to fill our souls. Give us the strength, oh Lord, to move forward in faith, knowing that with you, we can do all things. Amen. Now may the power of God's Holy Spirit fill your mind with positive thoughts that whatever you face tomorrow, today, and the days ahead, you'll face with this gift of God, His blessings, His guidance, His love. Amen.
En wij willen alle donateurs hartelijk danken die het mogelijk maken dat elke week Hour of Power kan worden uitgezonden. We vinden dat heel, heel bijzonder. En dank voor al die hartverwarmende reacties. Ja, dominee Schuller zei het net. Je krijgt niet altijd een ja-antwoord op je gebed. Maar God hoort het wel. En dat is het allerbelangrijkste. En Hij leeft met je mee, meer dan een mens met je mee kan leven. Ik hoop dat dat een troost is wat dominee Schuller zei. Nog even over het kwartaalblad. Ik heb het aan het begin van de uitzending al genoemd. Wilt u of wil jij dat ontvangen? Dat sturen we graag gratis toe. Alle informatie over onze kerstconcerten, interview met Daniel Rodriguez en veel meer. Ons adres verschijnt in beeld. Ik wil iedereen heel hartelijk bedanken voor het kijken naar Hour of Power. En verheug me alweer op volgende week. En graag dus tot volgende week. Een fijne week.